know, brothers and sisters, I love that this church is so unique. You know, you do have a prophet among you, and I'm not speaking of myself. See, Brother Matt is a prophet. The reason he said is he said that we were going to smell that food and get hungry. Well, just as I was about to walk up here, my stomach started growling. Therefore, he prophesied, and it happened. So, you know, I'm kidding with that, but that's a wonderful thing that we can share a time together in fellowship and meal and everything. And today, as we spoke of earlier, we're going to, as a congregation, celebrate the Lord's Supper as well as our fellowship for Thanksgiving. And as much as I enjoy our fellowship meals, the Lord's Supper holds a much greater importance to me. Through it, we not only remember the Lord's death till He returns, but we also give thanks unto God for the gift of the cross and the resurrection. Jesus' body and blood shed for me, shed for you, and all who believe. And as believers, the Father has given us the plan that He commands us to use in our daily lives. Thus, as we give thanks, we must read, hear, and act upon what God has instructed us to do. Now, again, I've told you this many times, but there's certain sermons on certain Sundays where you know what's going to be preached about. We know what we're going to preach on Resurrection Sunday. We're going to preach the resurrection. We know what we're going to preach the Sunday before the day we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. We're going to preach about the incarnation. We know what we're going to preach on Mama's Day, all right? We know these things. Well, on Thanksgiving, it's the same thing. And I don't know how many pastors across this country on their Thanksgiving service, it may not be this week, it may be next week in many cases, they're going to preach out of Psalm 100. You've heard it, I've heard it. In fact, I'm so old, I remember when I had to memorize that in public school. That's a pretty long time ago, wasn't it? But I'm going to tell you what, brothers and sisters, Thanksgiving is found all throughout Scripture, not just Psalm 100. In fact, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians today for Thanksgiving. In the Old Testament, we are exhorted to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before God. That's Micah 6:8. How do we do this? We do this by obeying what God has told us to do in the Scripture and being humble enough to understand that His ways are greater than our ways. And that's one of the things I give thanks for. Because folks, if it was left up to me, I'd probably be a little smoking pile of ashes up here by now. But I'm not, by the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. By obedience to the Word of God, which is in the New Testament, tells us to do the following. Now, let's take 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 14 through 18. And then we're going to go verse by verse. Verse 14, this is Paul speaking to the Thessalonian church. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. I don't see anybody jumping up and running right now, so that's good. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. That's our theme. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Paul the Apostle tells us specifically, in everything give thanks because this is the will of Jesus in us. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm not naive. I know there's some things that is extremely hard to give thanks in. We're going to touch on those a little bit. But the overall command of the Word of God is for us to give thanks. And it is a wonderful thing that we can take these times, these holidays, these personal events, whatever it may be, to give thanks unto God for all that He has done for us. Because folks, if we were honest and looked in the mirror and looked around our lives, we would see there are times when the only way we got through it is through God. and we can give thanks. There's times when we've been alone. There's times when we've been heartbroken. There's times when we're full of doubt and fear, and yet God does not abandon us in those times, does He? He strengthens us. He gives us the will and the way and the talents and the gifts and all the things that He gives us so that we might be obedient to His Word. So let's break these verses down a little bit. Back to verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. That word that is translated unruly can be translated in many different ways, but let me give you kind of a hint. Lawless. Impatient. Angry. This is in that Greek word. But they try unruly. People who cause division, people who cause problems. There are always people, whether we're in a church or in a family or in whatever situation you find, you're in schoolwork, etc., that are going to be divisive and unruly. And what are we are commanded to do? We're to warn them. Brothers and sisters, that's one of the hardest things we can do, especially if we know this person intimately, like they're a family member or something like that. It is hard to warn them because they usually come back, well, I know who you are. You have no right to say that to me. I know what you did when, 1974. The farther away I get from 1974, the less I can remember, and that's a good thing. We are to warn the unruly. And who are the unruly? We already spoke. Those who forsake the truth of the gospel. Those who are selfish. Those who cause unwarranted division. And those who like to stir the pot. I had an ambulance partner one time, and he was very honest about the way he viewed things. He said, I love to stir the pot. I love to cause problems. I love to watch people react when I say something they don't like. Folks, why do we want to be that way as humans? It's ridiculous to enjoy the fear, doubt, pain, and anger of others being on display. We're to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's not for us to stir the pot. It's for us to put the lid on the pot and turn down the heat. See, that's a cooking euphemism because we're having Thanksgiving today. Just let y'all know that. We must warn them that they, as we, are accountable to God for all the actions within the body of Christ. That's the church. Now, folks, remember, He's not speaking to unbelievers here. He's speaking to the church. That's something we have to remember. Yes, we're to warn unbelievers, but we're to warn each other. We're to hold each other accountable, and we can give thanks for that. I give thanks when I have a brother or sister come up and tell me something that I need to hear. Now, all of us suffer from the sin of pride, and no one likes being told they're wrong. But sometimes that guides you into doing what is best for the situation you are in. We need to remember that. Careless words, hurtful expressions, and things like that cause division and pain within the church. And they need to know the danger that people who do that place themselves in. That is the warning. We tell them in a godly way, never an arrogant way, never being a jerk, never being accusational, is that even a word? But being strong and firm in what God has told us through His Word. We do so in love. But folks, sometimes when we do things in love, it's difficult for the hearer and the giver. It's hard for me sometimes to admonish or correct people that I care about. And it's hard sometimes for them to receive such words. Because all of us think that we're right 98% of the time. And then the other 2% is always somebody else's fault. Folks, that's a serious statement. I was not trying to be funny. That's truth. And when we try to explain things to people that God would not approve of, and this includes ourselves looking in the mirror, We try to rationalize, we try to justify, we try to do everything except admit what we've done and seek God's will. And again, Paul speaking to the church. And then the next thing it says, after warning the unruly, comfort the feeble-minded and support the weak. Folks, in the context here, it's not talking about somebody who has a physical problem like a mental challenge or something like that. No, it's talking about somebody who is weak in the faith. They're feeble-minded in the things of God. That's the context. And remember, every class I ever took, you know, when talking about sermons, it's like context is key. Okay? Here, feeble-minded means somebody who is weak in the faith. There's other verses in the Bible that talks about people that are tossed to and fro by any member. How many of y'all remember Peanuts? Charlie Brown. Okay? They had an expression for good old Charlie Brown. They called him wishy-washy. That's not a theological term, Brother Allen, but that's a true statement. Wishy-washy. We jump back and forth between things. We're never settled. That's what this word feeble-minded means here. So, those who are weak in faith and understanding are to be comforted. They're not doing it out of rebellion and rejection. They're doing it because they don't know any better. And what are we to do? We're to comfort them. We're to come alongside them. And you know, folks, sometimes when we do that, they give thanks to God for us. Again, it falls back to thanksgiving. And sometimes God uses that opportunity for us to be the hands and feet of Christ here on earth. And we can therefore give thanks for those that are weak in the faith and understanding. We all struggle with matters of life and faith, and hearing such terms as grow up and get over it, while maybe technically true, it's not very comforting, is it? You know, I've had to explain a lot of things to Christine since she's been growing up about this is what's going to happen when you become an adult. You know, we've had the conversation about marriage, and we've had the conversation about that thing, the FICA and the paycheck and all that kind of stuff. Only things adults get to deal with. But you know, what we need to do is to teach, but comfort, to strengthen, to prepare for the decisions that life will bring. And we need to do that as Christians too, brothers and sisters. We don't need to be accusatory. That was the word I was looking for earlier this year. Not accusational, but accusatory. That is a real word. And while that's the get up and get over, grow up and get over, it might be true and abstract. Accusatory statements do not strengthen or help the brother or sister in the hour of need. Comforting people does. And I give thanks for those that have comforted me and my family. I give thanks when I see somebody in this congregation comforting someone who is in pain. Folks, that is our duty as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not just the preacher. It's not just the Sunday school teacher. It's not just the praise people. We are all to comfort each other. Do we all do it perfectly? I wish I could say we did. But we try. And with the wisdom and the grace and the gifts that God gives us, we can strengthen each other. Now here's the next one on our list. Be patient toward all men. You hear that, ladies? Be patient to all men. Now we know he's talking about the human race. But you know, we do need to be patient with each other. Folks, you know, I look at my own life, and I quoted the great eminent philosopher Foghorn Leghorn a couple of weeks ago when I said I was about as sharp as a bowling ball. And realizing that, I pray that people will be patient, especially people I love and care about. Sometimes I don't deserve it. But grace is not a deserved gift. Grace is a gift that you give to people who don't deserve it. And that's what we need to do, brothers and sisters. We need to be patient. We need to have grace. We need to show mercy. And it's hard sometimes, because we understand that there's people out there that's about as smart as a brick. And they act like it, and they have pride in that, which I never could understand. You have pride in doing stupid things, but some people do. We've all met them. But that does not absolve us of the commands of God to be patient toward Him. Jesus was patient to a lot of people. If nothing else, think of Calvary. When he prayed that God would forgive those men who were nailing him to the cross. I would call that patience. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And we can say that about a lot of people. Lord, forgive them because they don't realize what they're doing. They're causing destruction. They're causing division. They're causing harm. They're causing pain. But yet, in his mercy, we see the path that we must take to overcome those things. And it may take a long time. But brothers and sisters, patience is the gift that God gives us to give to others, because we want to be treated. Remember the old golden rule? Do unto others and as you want done unto you. Of course, I remember we had a poster back in the early 70s that said, do unto others that split. That's not what we want to do. We want to do to people what we want to be done to us. Patience is one of those things that we lean on. It is difficult, but we can do it through Christ's help. Now, verse 15 says this, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Folks, this is one of those verses in the Bible that people have so much difficulty. Ranks right up there with that love your enemies thing. Be kind to all. Ranks right up there with that. Don't give evil for evil. You see, we as human beings, we have a warped and perverted sense of justice. What do I mean by that? We don't want what is just. We want what we think is just for us. You know, if somebody does something wrong and they get hammered for it, well, they deserve it. You do something wrong, you want grace and mercy and forgiveness and love and patience. But the Bible is clear. You will sow what you reap. If you're cruel to people, folks are going to be cruel to you. It may not happen immediately, but it is going to happen. If you lie, cheat, and steal, well, somebody's going to lie, cheat, and steal against you at some point in your life. And it usually ends up at the worst moment. Brothers and sisters, we are told that we don't do evil for evil. Yes, if someone... What was that old TV show, the comedy show back in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, Rowan and Mark, Laugh In. Thank you. All I had to do is look at Brother Allen and think, laugh. All right, got it. They had the old sock it to me. Do y'all remember Richard Nixon? Sock it to me, that guy? Okay, sorry, I will no longer do impressions. But when people sock it to us, we want to sock right back. That is not what Christians are called to do. We are called to not render evil for evil unto any man. God will take care of it. God will do things behind the scene in the heavenlies that we can't even imagine if that person does not repent and come to the Lord Jesus. We want them to repent and come to the Lord Jesus. Why? They're so evil because the Bible tells us that God does not want anyone to perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's what we need to think. Because in that, we can give thanks. Why? Because we were that way. We were that way. We stand firm in the truth. And this does not mean that we are to be doormats. We are not to be emotionally manipulated. We are not to be walked upon, cussed out, and all this other kind of stuff, even though it's probably going to happen at some point. I remember one time I was asked by a friend in a church where I was at to go to a hospital and visit with a man who was about to pass. And I walked in, how you doing? I'm Charles, and it's good to meet you. Somebody wanted me to come and pray for you. And the second I said prayer and he found out I was a preacher, he threw his fist up, started cursing me, and told me to get out. And so I walked out in the hallway and prayed for him anyway, that God would open his eyes before it was too late. It was too late. He died 3 hours later, still angry at God. He wasn't angry at me. He didn't know me from Adam. But for whatever reason, he was mad at God. All that being said, brothers and sisters, I didn't sit there and say, Lord, would you just let his oxygen supply cut off? No, that's stupid. We don't render evil for evil. We follow that which is good, both among our brothers and sisters in church, among ourselves, and to all men. The word all, Greek panta, guess what it means? It means all. It means everyone. We are to show the love of Christ to everyone. Is it difficult with some people? Yeah, I'd be lying up here if I said it was easy. It's not, but it's easier when you have Christ giving you the strength and the ability to do it than trying to do it on your own. Because brothers and sisters, on our own, we want to fight, we want to scrap, we want to punch the person that punches us. But Jesus said, there's a better way. My way. We are to entrust such things to Jesus. And as hard as it seems, we are not to avenge ourselves because of personal slights. You know, we always pray about the big things in society and all that. But when it gets on the personal level, we have a little bit more problem praying over it. Oh, we want God. We might pray, but we might be saying what they used to call those imprecatory psalms. Y'all heard of those? Lord, let a great big rock drop on this guy's head, that kind of thing. Folks, we're to stay away from that. However, I need to re-emphasize, we are to stand firm in the truth against evil. We're to point out sin while pointing out the path of redemption with grace. We are to ever follow that which is good, even if those around us are not. We are different because we belong to the Lord Jesus. And in belonging to Him, we stand on the truth of the gospel. Then and only then will we be able to honestly fulfill the law of love and be children of our Father in heaven. And in that state, then we can do the next. Verse 16 and 17, really short verses. 16, rejoice evermore, and 17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing, very easy. Just get in the vehicle with a teenage driver and you'll be praying without ceasing. Rejoicing for ourselves and rejoicing with others is a wonderful experience. You see, when we have events like Thanksgiving and holidays, we can not only rejoice for ourselves, but we rejoice with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it is a wonderful thing. He or she who rejoices from the depths of despair, in truth, not force, because you know all, there are some people, they will rejoice, but it's fake. But when you can rejoice from the depths of despair, you are exercising a gift that God gives us. And we should be thankful for all the gifts that God gives us. Every one of them. I'll give you an example. A loved one passes this world. Now, we know that Christians mourn, but we mourn in a different way than the rest of the world. We have a hope found not only in Christ because of the resurrection. We have hope because it is not goodbye, but see after a while. One of the greatest things that I get to say when I'm doing a funeral, whether it's an urn or a casket, someone I knew, and I'm going to say this when my parents pass. See you in the morning. Simple words we've said all our lives, but dripping with meaning that the world cannot and will not understand. See you in the morning. There's a day coming that we will be together again. We have that when others do not. You know, I got to reading something that a person who had been a Hindu. And of course, Hindus believe in reincarnation and all that stuff. You know, you go up or down depending on how your life was. Their goal is to become one with the universe and to cease to exist. Nirvana, they call it. Brothers, of course, the Buddhists use the same word, but it's it's basically the same thing. When you are freed from the cycle of reincarnation and you become one with the universe and you cease to exist, you have no more desires, no more pain, no more things. Folks, God created us for fellowship. How can you fellowship if you don't exist? We fellowship not only with each other, we fellowship with God. We're going to do that today. It's important that we recognize these moments and we give thanks. You see, in this way, we pray in our hearts and minds continually because we have that wonderful hope. Folks, when it says pray without ceasing, all jokes aside, that doesn't mean I sit down on my knees and I'm just blah, 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 saying things over and over and over and over. Remember, vain repetition is not a good prayer. But it means my mind and my heart is open 24 hours a day, not only to receive from God, but to give to Him. Communication, talking, loving, communing with each other, telling God, and He already knows, folks, I'm not going down that path, but when you confess something to God, a deep secret or a problem, whatever it may be, you receive comfort knowing that your petition is heard before the throne of God. Nobody else can say that. The best they can say is, good luck with that. But love is an impersonal thing. It's happenstance. There is no happenstance for a child of God. That's a wonderful thing. We long for those times where we can pray without ceasing, where we can rejoice evermore. That means we continually rejoice. And we have the reason. Verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Notice this says, in everything give thanks. Well, how can we do this? Do we give thanks in tragedy? Do we give thanks out of sorrow? Do we thank God for death or trouble? How can we accomplish the will of God like this? And we said earlier, this appears, you know, like that whole love your enemies thing. Brothers and sisters, we give thanks because God has not abandoned us even in the midst of the things that we do. Remember, He is on the throne forever. He is the same yesterday, today. Moses took off his sandals in front of that bush that burned but was not consumed. And God said, take off those sandals, for this is holy ground. He came face to face with the glory of God. Folks, we have access to the same God. We have access to the same Word, the same plan. He may not appear to us in a burning bush. He may appear to us in something that is so mundane we wouldn't even think God was there. One time, a long time ago, I was going through something very painful. And one morning, I got in my car to go to work. Right as I was getting in the car, two things happened. One, a rainbow. Something simple. Light going through water, prismatic effect. That's the scientific garbage for it. But I'm telling you what, God gave that as a reminder of His love and His care for not only this world, not by water, but by fire. And I believe part of that is the fire of the Holy Spirit that lives within you. Because God promises you through the sealing of the Spirit that you are His. I am His. For that I can truly give thanks. Also saw something very beautiful, very mundane as I was pulling out. This is before I married Chani. I was pulling out of my driveway and we had an old holly bush right there. Now this was November. You know it's still pretty hot down there in November. I mean, they got another hurricane brewing. That's the way it is. There was this beautiful jewel of a cardinal. Not a St. Louis cardinal, a bird, okay? Sitting on there just looking at it. Beautiful red with the black and the orange beak, just gorgeous. And then God reminded me, a sparrow does not fall without your father knowing it. That bird didn't know me from any other human being. But I saw God through that little taste of creation. And I gave thanks that morning. I didn't say it solved the problem, but I do say that God reminded me that He was in charge, and ain't a cotton-picking thing this world can do to change that. It never will. So in everything, give thanks. Perspective is the key. How do we view the Lord in all of this? Do we see Him as the cause of the problem? Or do we see Him as being with us during the problem? Folks, that's what we give thanks for. A lot of our problems, let's face it, folks, are because we make bad decisions. You know? We do stupid things. We stick our finger in the light socket. We put our hand in a fire ain't bed. We get drunk and drive down the road at 4 a.m. No, we do stupid things, folks, as human beings. And the consequences sometimes God allows us to live through because we need to understand that without Him, what would happen to us? And yet, even in those things that I just talked about, He can be there with you. You may still have to go through the consequences, but you know that He still loves you. It's the old thing we've talked about, and I've said 1,000 times from the pulpits, that if you borrow your dad's car and you go out and you wreck it, your dad will not stop loving you. He will still love you, but you're going to be walking for a while. That's true in the Christian life too, brothers and sisters. We can be thankful that God never takes His love away from us. We can give thanks in all things. We can rejoice always. We can pray without ceasing. We can even be patient to all men because He is patient with us. Another thing we can do. You see, Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is with us to give us what we need to not only endure the time of testing, but to also be victorious. Let us remember Romans 8, where it says, starting at verse 31, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything in the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God the Father, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's a very important verse to me. You know, when you're running 800 feet under the Pacific Ocean, and that verse, nor depth, it reminds me that even down there, God was with me. Even in an airplane way up there, God is with me. Even walking through the valleys of despair and doubt and fear, God is with me. Nothing, nothing, nothing can take us out of the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Whether it be a government or a temptation or whatever it may be. If we are in Christ, we are in Christ firm, and nothing's going to take us out. Brothers and sisters, all that being said, we are going to give thanks unto the Lord today, not only for His providence and grace that He has shown us through the Lord Jesus, but also for He Himself as God. Now, brothers and sisters, at this time, I'm going to ask the deacons to come forward so that we enter into a time of the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. But before we do this, I want to admonish the congregation. We are commanded to examine ourselves before we do this. And I'm going to give you biblical justification for this. 1 Corinthians says this, For I have received of the Lord that which he also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup which he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Let's take a moment to pray with ourselves, with God, silently, and examine ourselves before we take in the Lord's Supper. Father, we come before you in humble gratitude and give thanks to you. For you, Lord Jesus, not only dying on that cross, but being resurrected, establishing the new covenant in your blood, in your body, Lord, we thank you that our sins are taken away by grace through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is all of you, Lord Jesus. Lord, bless what we do here today. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat any more thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks.
Thank you.
And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup. Word of God says, likewise also the cup after supper, this is Jesus speaking, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Scripture tells us that after the Last Supper, the disciples sang a hymn and then departed into the Garden of Gethsemane. So I'm going to ask that we stand and sing the doxology. After that, I will pray that will be the blessing for the meal that we're about to share in the fellowship hall. Ready? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Father, thank you for this opportunity to share not only with the ordinance that you have commanded us to share together to remember your death until you return, but Lord, for the fellowship that we're about to receive. I ask that you bless that food, bless the hands that prepared it, and let us just have a good time in the body today, Lord, for all the glory and honor goes to you. And in Lord Jesus, in your most precious name we pray, amen. We are dismissed.